Shark Bagley. Shark Bagley.
Shark Bagley. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Shark Bagley, all things loose and disorderly, with me, Katie Johnson, and my good friend Howard Middleton from the Great British Bake Off. Not sure where the time has gone, but we're up to episode number 90, which also happens to be linked to sports both sides of the Atlantic. So, for instance, here in the UK, it's the number of minutes in a British football game, and in the States, the distance in feet between bases in baseball. And it also happens to be the percentage of people who feel better after doing the washing up. So I hope you've had a good week, wherever you are in the world. That's how we began our weekly conversation, me and H, and it was going quite well, until a few internet connection problems along the way.
It has been a good week, actually. It's been lovely. 2 years ago, I think, was the last time that I went over to Manchester to do what's called the Village Bakers. So it's an LGBTQ group that meet on a monthly basis and bake, and then, well, since I was on Bake Off, they've invited me across to judge their cakes.
Oh,
and
nice.
It was really nice to be, you know, to be back with them. There was a funny incident, actually, though, because, you know me, you would always advise me, if you've got something to do that's professional, do not have a drink before you do the professional thing, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't, do you?
No.
So
you did.
One of the organisers said to me, no, I did it. So I said, I'll just stick to water until we've got the judging out of the way. And then one of the organisers said to me, if you do fancy a glass of wine or whatever, there's a tab behind the bar. And I thought at first, he said, there's a tap behind the bar. I thought, well, they know me so well. Just turn it on and fill me up.
It's those ears again, H.
Oh, dear. Oh, gosh, it's so competitive. It really is competitive. I always apologise, and I say that I've got a train to catch, and I try and make a hasty retreat afterwards, because you can see some people are not happy with the outcome of the judging.
Did you have a favourite?
Actually, my favourite was not the ultimate winner, because I loved these rainbow vegetable focaccias, and they were delicious.
Mm.
But they were only in like a kind of what you might call a signature category. So the showstoppers, the kind of big cakes and bakes and things, it was one of those that won ultimately. They've been going 10 years. And so the theme was 10. And this was a lovely bee. And when you sliced into it, it had 10 running all the way through it. So it was very, very impressive.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I like that. So a good time.
You don't look impressed. It looks as if you're frozen. Oh, dear, I'll just take a photo of what I'm looking at.
Don't you dare. I'm going to reset the router.
You'd sent 2 weeks' worth of meeting requests.
Oh,
you've opened up next week. Shall we come out? Go back into 1:30? But
yes.
This is a really good reception, isn't it?
It is. Oh, yes, I've gone in next week. Oh, you silly woman. So that's the best is to speak in the future, because it's a really good signal.
Yeah. That's it, we'll do. It's all a bit like Doctor Who, isn't it?
Oh, who's going to have the scarf?
I do like a scarf, actually. Do you like a scarf?
I love a scarf.
We could share a scarf. We could have a really long one that stretches between us.
From Sheffield to Ludlow. Do you know, though, that's going to cause uproar, though, isn't it? Because just thinking how many people would be caught in the scarf.
Oh, yeah. Do you know when, what's his name, first came out? When COVID first came out, and they advised people to walk, what was it, 2 meters, keep 2 meters between you?
Something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah. And literally, there was an elderly couple that had like a scarf between them in order to keep the distance. Oh. And you think that is taking it a bit too extreme because you live with each other. You don't have to necessarily keep 2 meters distance between you.
Maybe that was just an excuse because they're not getting on really well. Yeah, because that's going to catch on quite a lot of poles, isn't it? And might be a danger to birds.
Yeah.
If we have a scarf.
You're not looking where you're going as well. Yeah. No.
So we won't do that, Howard, because we've got to think of health and safety. And also, who of the two of us is the only one qualified to crochet or knit? And it's you. And we could be long gone by the time you've finished it, because it'd have to be a few miles long, wouldn't it?
Well, I've probably still got enough squares to sew together if I could just work out how to do it. So,
so we've resumed, and so we were chatting about your Manchester thing, which went really well. That's good.
Yeah.
Yes, good.
And I asked you whether you'd had a lovely week as well.
You did ask me, and then apparently I froze. it's been one of those weeks, H. You know, when just sometimes everything battles against you. So the car this week, when we'd gone away, we put the car in. It's a really old little car. And we put her into the garage. And bless him, this chap looked after her and did all sorts. Took the engine out, you know. Nothing. If you're going to do something, do it the whole hog. So the whole engine came out to mend something. Anyway, I think it's similar to when you take a pillowcase off, when you're washing it, and then you've got to put the pillowcase back in. Not everything probably goes where it was before.
No.
So there's some things not happy. And the chap is now away for 4 weeks. So, we've had some real strange noises. We've got an oil leak, and she tends not to start.
Oh, dear. Yeah. That's not quite...
No, but hey. Hey-ho. But no, good. I'm trying to get back in the swing of things. The weather's not been good, and I just want to go back to the sunshine.
Oh, no, it's awful, isn't it? When I went to Manchester on Sunday, that was a lovely day in Manchester. And you think, this is unheard of. You know, you normally expect it to be absolutely chucking it down. But no, it was the other way around. Oh, and I left the place in order to catch the only train running from Manchester back to Sheffield on Sunday that didn't involve a replacement bus. Oh. You know, they're at the venue sort of saying to me, don't miss your train, Howard, don't miss your train. So there I am, had 2 glasses of wine.
From the tap.
Staggering away. Yeah. From the tap. Staggering away to Piccadilly Station. Gets there, it's cancelled. So then I did have to go to Stockport and then get a replacement bus from Stockport. Oh, I just thought, this is not a good day, is it?
No, you should have had some more from the tap. Yeah. A couple of hellos to do.
Oh, lovely.
Also, hello and welcome to Vietnam.
No, really? I'm always surprised. Do you know, you could tell me anywhere and I would still be surprised.
But you know what you just said? Listen to this. This is a review we've had this week, and thank you so much to Laura, who's in the United States of America. I discovered Shat Bagley a couple of weeks ago and have been listening on my commutes in the car. I love giggling along, learning about old recipes and listening to Katie and Howard's friendship. I love Howard's exclamations of no and really. But don't, I'm not off the hook. I'm not off the hook at all because she's put, and Katie's, good Lord. This podcast puts a smile on my face and warms my heart. Thank you.
Oh, we're going to have to... Oh, this is our mission, isn't it? To try and come up with some new sayings instead.
You reckon? I did think that was funny.
I am surprised. I am surprised about Vietnam. So, yeah.
Do you think maybe someone's on holiday?
Possibly, yeah.
Because apparently it's a beautiful country with... do they have beaches in Vietnam? They do, don't they?
I don't know. Do you know, I always worry when, you know, if you're watching Tipping Point or The Chase and there's a geography question comes up, because I think This is one that I'm not going to be able to answer. So I don't know. Don't know where they have beaches. They must do if they've got a coast, I think. Then they probably have got beaches.
Vietnam, with 2,000 miles of coastline, plus a handful of renowned island destinations, has no shortage of beautiful beaches. Yes, so beautiful beaches. So I suspect somebody's on holiday in Vietnam.
Probably got a static caravan or something like that.
And being guided by that long scarf between Ludlow and Sheffield.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry says the moose, because we were chatting about, and that brings me as well.
Oh, yes.
Yes, because yeah. Women of the Moose, which I mentioned last week, and I have to mention this because it's one I forgot to tell you about, because I know exactly what your response is going to be. When I say to you, Howard, would you like a mayonnaise chocolate cake?
I have had a mayonnaise chocolate cake before.
No. So when have you had a mayonnaise chocolate cake?
Oh, I think it was some years ago. I had heard about the principle of putting mayonnaise into a chocolate cake. And I don't know whether it was a WI or some event where I was judging some cakes. Mm. And this lady said to me, "You'll never guess what's in this chocolate cake." And I said, "Is it mayonnaise?" And she looked absolutely horrified that I'd guessed so easily. Mm. Yeah.
Is that because you could taste the mayonnaise?
No, you couldn't taste it. But I know that if someone says you'll never guess what's in this, chances are it's either mayonnaise or avocado. It's 50-50 chance.
Is that your rule for life?
Yes. Yeah.
So is it nice?
Yeah, perfectly fine. I mean, when you think about it, all it is that combination of eggs and oil. And the fact that it's got a little bit of vinegar in there, quite often you'll put a bit of acidity, either with lemon or sour cream or something like that, into cakes. Mm. So it's just the fact that it's being combined in a different way that makes people a little bit horrified at first. But you wouldn't know the difference, really.
No. Maybe just don't tell anybody it's got mayonnaise in it.
Yeah.
But it's a cup of sugar, 2 cups of flour, 4 large tablespoons of cocoa, 1 teaspoon of vanilla, 1 cup of mayonnaise, 2 teaspoons of soda, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of cold water. And it's from Iris Boyd from this book. Anyway, by talking about moose, we mentioned moose and the fact they can kick in all directions with their front legs. Well,
yeah.
Awful, because Jerry's in Alaska. Hi, Jerry. They kill on average 1 person a year up here in Alaska with those multi-directional kicks. So scary.
No.
Yeah.
I've done it again. No.
Did you say really, though?
Well, that's awful.
I know it is. I know. And that's just in Canada. So hi to Lorraine for getting in touch. Kim says,
yeah.
Oh, and we've had quite a bit of reaction about the right bosom cum rice pudding. And Kim says, hilarious, it was. The rice pudding bosoms had me doing a coffee spit take. Alice is in the UK, was with you with the rice pudding, not the right bosom. I don't know. And hi to Anne for getting in touch. Lovely to hear from you. To Catherine Allen as well. And to Gwyneth, who says, absolutely love listening to Katie and Howard on the podcast, especially when you both get the giggles. And hi to Jen and Dave Kinniston, who got in touch as well on Instagram. You can too, Facebook, and email podcast@theshatbaggerly.co.uk. Yeah. So, so moose, because they're quite big beasts by the looks of them.
Have you ever been near a moose? I can't say that I have.
Chocolate moose. Oh, to be near to a chocolate moose. Yeah.
I like a chocolate mousse, actually, I must admit. A nice chocolate mousse.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Not like a cheap chocolate mousse. No.
Good Lord, no. If you're going to have a chocolate mousse, you've got to do a proper chocolate mousse, or you've got to have a chocolate mousse. Yeah, I don't like it when you get that...
What have you got stuck in your chocolate mousse?
When it sticks, you know, it sticks to the top of your palate and it's a horrible claggy feeling.
Is it grainy? Is it?
That's it.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
That's not a nice one, is it, then? It's got to
Oh,
be
no, it
smooth.
needs to be beautifully smooth and aerated.
Speaking of words, I've used a word recently that Glyn said, good Lord, I've never heard that word for ages. And then the people we were chatting to had never heard the word. And then, lo and behold, I was on the phone to a pal last night who I haven't chatted for a while, and she used the word as well. And I said, I've used that word the other day, not used it for ages, and she said, I've not used it for ages as well. Snazzy.
Snazzy?
Mm.
I don't think I've ever used the word snazzy.
No.
No, I don't think I have. Oh, it's snazzy. No, I don't think I have. But yes, I've obviously heard it, but it is a lovely word. You sort of think it's probably a 1970s word, isn't it?
What are you trying to say?
No, I'm just saying it has historical context. I don't know.
I don't know. But
where does snazzy come from?
Don't know.
Let's have a look. I'll have a look where snazzy comes from.
But isn't
I don't
it
want
a
to
lovely
lose
word?
My other thing.
I
bet it's older than I think it is, actually. Snazzy. Stylish and attractive, snazzy little silk dresses.
Can we bring back the word snazzy?
If you wish.
I think I would like, listener to Shatbagley, which in itself is a word we need to bring back, if you can try and get the word snazzy into a sentence this week, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. Snazzy origin. Snazzy is an American English invention dating from 1932. Wow. Experts guess that it either comes from the Irish snaz, meaning of good appearance, or a combination of snappy and jazz. Oh, I can imagine that. It's got a sort of flapper feel, snazzy, hasn't it?
What were the two words I was just about to utter, and then I remembered what the review said?
Good Lord.
Yeah. In the Urban Dictionary, which is obviously you and I, because we're hip.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A super sexy word to describe anything awesome, cool looking, or super hip. So it's got even more of a. So we need to bring back snazzy. We need to bring back snazzy.
Yeah.
Anyway, you said you had something. I'm sorry, because we've gone off on one, haven't we? I mean, it's not like
we have
us.
Gone off on one. I thought sort of about 5-10 minutes ago, probably not even that. I thought that's an opening for me to bring in what I was going to talk about, and now we've talked about something completely different in between. But yes, no, you know when you were talking about moose, and yes. And somebody the other day was saying about the thing that they love the most is creme caramel, which is a bit mousse-like, isn't it? You know, it's sort of creamy and...
Mousse-like.
Well, your face obviously says there's no link between mousse and creme caramel.
Will you stop saying that about my face? It's my face, darling. I can't help it.
It's the most beautiful face of the year. I was intrigued because I read an article the other day, a BBC article, entitled, Can Comfort Foods Really Make You Feel Better? Oh. And apparently, yes, they can. So it's not just psychological, but apparently there's two aspects to it, apparently, comfort foods. One is that the things that you think are going to comfort you,
right.
Either stuff that you remember nostalgically from your childhood or things like that, they will naturally get your endorphins going because you are relating them to a lovely, warm, nostalgic feeling.
Right,
so
okay.
If you fancy a pork pie will do you good because it reminds you of lovely times with a pork pie that you've had in the past or something. That, or a mousse, or a chocolate mousse, or a creme caramel. But the other aspect to it is, so that's like the sort of placebo-ish effect. I'm not very good at science. But the other thing is that so many apparently traditional comfort foods, and we're not just talking about in the UK, we're talking right across the world, they actually calm inflammation. So they're things that are soothing to eat, soft, soupy creamy kind of things that just, you know, calm any upset that you might have in your tummy or whatever, they calm them down. And I was looking, and I couldn't believe, when you look at kind of what are called comfort foods across the world, how many similar things there are. These kind of milky puddingy type things, and soups with noodles in, and things like that. It's all the stuff that you would fancy eating, as well as chips and things like that, which
and chocolate
aren't going to settle your stomach. And chips and chocolate,
Now, funny enough, today I've been helping a chap with his Jersey cows.
Oh yeah.
And I thought, right, let's put some recipes on. So one of our chef pals, Darren, he's kindly helped us with a couple of recipes. And the one we've launched today is for a beautiful rice pudding.
Oh, nice.
With Jersey milk. And that is got to be a comfort food, hasn't it?
Especially... Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm. That's so comforting, rice pudding, isn't it?
Oh, bless him, Harvey's dreaming. Whenever we do this podcast, he sleeps right behind me on by my feet.
Yeah.
And every so often he's going...
you don't know what he's dreaming of?
Moose?
Moose and rice pudding. Does he like a bit of comfort food?
Oh, yeah.
I think we all do, don't we?
We all do.
So, I had an awful dream last night.
Now, hang on. Do I have to reach for my dream book?
I don't know. I remember I was in this room and there were two guys chatting, and then I went out of the room and I could still see them looking as I was outside, and one of them said something, and I thought, oh yes, all right, smart aleck, whatever. And I thought, I'm not going to respond because I actually know that you are potentially a vampire, so I'm not going to get into an argument with a vampire, right? So I just ignored him. And then I thought, do you know, that's upset me so much, I don't know whether I'm going to go back to work or just get a bus and go home. And
let's see if I've got my dream book. Hang on. I've woken up Harvey now, so he's all right. He's not dreaming anymore. So shall I look up dreaming of vampires?
No, because it was no obvious sign of him being a vampire, but something in the back of my mind said that he was.
Oh, no, there's nothing. There's nothing that says vampire's age.
Nothing for vampire. Oh.
Goes from valley to vapour bath to varnishing furniture. Oh. Shall I put...
Who would dream of varnishing furniture?
Well, who would dream of a vampire? Obviously nobody.
Well, I know, but you see, I must admit, you see more vampire... Martin. I don't know whether you do. I was going to say you see more vampires on TV and films and things like that. But I think probably with the repair shop and what have you, you do get quite a lot of furniture varnishing now, don't you?
I don't know, H. There's nobody that's dreamt of a vampire that this person's been able to help.
Oh. I'm sure listeners might know why I would dream something like that.
Cheese.
And then again, they might not. So.
Just too much cheese before you went to bed.
I did have cheese before I went to bed.
They are, then. Because it's renowned, isn't it, cheese?
Well, normally it doesn't bother me at all. But you're right. I did have some cheese last night before I went to bed.
Now, I've got to tell you something, and I meant to tell you it last week. When we went on our holiday, we did quite a bit of walking. And there were times when we had to do inclines, almost hill-like.
Went for one this morning and I thought, why do I keep forgetting to ask Katie whether she's practiced walking up a hill?
Yeah. And you're talking about smart Alex. Glyn isn't a vampire. But we were going up this hill and he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I remember what Howard said. Stand upright and walk up there. And it does help. It does help. And Glyn pipes up, well, I think I do that all the time anyway. I thought, oh, yeah. So Glyn has been doing it, not me. But no, it does help, Howard. So thank you very much.
It does. Thank you for testing it out.
I've been roped in. I'm going to be doing some bar work.
Really?
Yeah, it's voluntary. In fact, I think I said my last words to Glyn were, I'm more than happy to volunteer, but just not bar work. And then gets a phone call on speakerphone with the person that needs somebody. And what am I supposed to say? So apart from, yes, I'll see you there. So I've got to do some bar work. I haven't done bar work for years.
Have you? Oh, you have done it before then?
Years and years ago. Years.
Oh, I think I always wanted to do, like, work in a service industry, to do something like that. But I think when I was younger, when I was at uni and what have you, and other people did bar work and that, I thought, I don't think I had enough confidence then. Huh. So, yeah, because it is really good for building confidence and getting to be able to talk to people, isn't it?
Mm.
Which we can do okay now.
The secret is not to talk too much, though, you see.
Mm.
Because you've got to get on.
So is it in a pub then, or wine bar?
It's at a theatre. So it's the before they go in, and then in the interval, which the interval's going to be, isn't it? Because you're up against the timer there. Mm.
Oh, you've not got to do that pre-ordered drinks thing where you have to pull them and put them on a trolley or something with their, so that people pick up the right drink, have you?
No.
Oh, good.
No, I know what you mean, because a lot of places do that. No, they don't do that there.
Yeah.
So,
right, that's good.
I'm sure it'll be a bit of fun. But, the problem is, you see, H, I'm not very good in the night. No, not in the night, but late nights. I've got to the stage when, you know, it goes dark so early now, comfy's on, by the fire, watching the telly. So, anyway, I shall be doing that. So think of me, won't you? Day after
I will.
Tomorrow.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. So is it just a one-off, or are you there for the whole season?
No, I don't know. I'll just do one night and then see how we get on. I mean, I'm happy to volunteer doing stuff, but I just I'm more than happy sort of showing people where to go. I'm really good at that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. And have you got to do the full complement of stuff then? Pulling pints and.
I don't know.
I wouldn't know where to start with pulling a pint, don't I?
It's quite an art. It's quite an art.
Yes.
I don't think there's any pulling. I think it's all bottles because it's a theatre thing. I think one of the bars has got that, but not this one where I'm on. So I'll let you know. I'll report back. My thing is, I've just got to be nice to people.
I can just imagine afterwards. Well, she's dead to me. He's dead to me.
Because I've told you before, I've hit that age where my face will give what I'm thinking away.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
And I don't know, and I think we've talked about it before. Since COVID, I mean, we're friendly people and whatever, but there's some people that can be quite rude to folk. And there'll be none of that. I mean, am I allowed to refuse to serve people as a volunteer?
Well, I suppose the other thing that you've got to keep your wits about you is that you are clocking who was at the bar first if it gets really busy.
Because
that's the other thing that people get really uppity about. Excuse me, I was here first. You know, they do, don't they?
They do. So I've got to be ready. Should I wear armour plating? Can you buy those at Marx's? Was it the Bake Off finals done now? Is it all finished?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Happy with the result?
So yes, I am really, really happy. So people were asking me at the weekend who I wanted to win, and I said I would like Shabira to win, and Shabira won. So yeah. Not the most, I have to say, I think they all came under a little bit of pressure in the showstopper. So perhaps not the most beautiful selection of showstoppers.
what?
But having said that, a worthy winner, I think.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen the final?
I haven't seen any of it yet. Because you told me to watch the Pastry Week, but I haven't. So now I haven't seen it.
Shabira's orangutan cake is have you not seen it?
No.
Oh, bless her. I think she ran a bit short of time. And
so you're going to show me something, are you?
Yeah. I don't know if you can see that. Yes, it's
is that space. Supposed to be orangutan?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's orange. It's orange. Yeah.
It says, Bake Off fans brutally compare Shabira's showstopper cake to a sleep paralysis demon. That was in...
It looks something I would have thought out of Sesame Street.
It does have a little bit of a sock puppet look to it. Yeah.
Oh, bless him.
Oh, bless.
Well, I tell you
but
what.
No, apart from its face. it was lovely.
And its body. And its hair. And its demeanour. Yeah. But no, fair dues. I wouldn't know where to start with one of those. So there we go.
No.
So still not come up with our Christmas song ideas. Although there's I've taken a bit of a shortcut. I've got three possibles Christmas songs. I meant to say.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yeah. So we've Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day.
Yeah.
Which is Wizard, isn't it? Wizard. Then there's Slade, Merry Christmas, everyone, and Band Aid.
Oh, do they know it's Christmas?
Yeah, which is quite slow. But are you happy with those three options if we put those out?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, we'll do that then, and then think about right.
I was thinking of A Partridge in a Pear Tree, simply because of the sort of culinary link. But then I thought that's going to get so complicated to where we try and think of something that goes with five muffin rings, five crumpet rings.
Five crumpet rings. Yeah. Well, you could, do you want me to put that out as well? 12 Days
do
of Christmas.
Want? I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, how's our June? How's Mum?
She's good, actually. Yeah, so she's having a new fridge freezer tomorrow. But we've managed to get part of it out, and they will tell me at some point this afternoon or early evening what time it's being delivered tomorrow. So I'm going to pop across tomorrow. But she phoned me yesterday. I tried to phone her, and she said, I've been on the phone to Debbie. That's my sister. Mm. Well, you know it's my sister, don't you? She said, I was talking to Debbie and the dog started barking. And then Debbie just suddenly stopped talking. So obviously my mum worries about what's happened to her. I didn't know whether she was up a ladder and she'd fallen off this ladder and the dog was barking. Anyway, she said, after about 5 minutes, she came back and Debbie said, I'm so sorry about that. She said she'd have to go down and answer the door. That's why the dog was barking.
Right.
She said it was Tyler. She'd have to give him a key. And I said, who's Tyler then? She says, it's the man who's doing the bathroom tiles.
So guessing then, when it's the turn of someone doing the toilet, they're definitely going to be called Lou. Howard's dream of vampires. I've had a look and it turns out they're quite common. Can relate to various meanings, including a person's desire for romance or feeling a little drained and tired in waking life. Oh, bless him. Perhaps he needs some comfort food. Speaking of which, if you fancy knowing about the rice pudding recipe I mentioned, I'll pop it on our Facebook and Instagram pages. Thank you again for your lovely messages. And like Laura, if you feel the urge to leave us a review, please don't fight it. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Right then, before we do anything, got a message, Howard, before it goes down. Hi H, please don't forget, no eating cheese before bedtime.